Welcome, everyone. This is Michael Sparks with the Anzuil Dealer Training Call, and it's Monday, April 20th, 2015. We're excited for you to join us on this weekly call, and we hope you get a lot out of this as much as we get out of providing these for over the last 3 years. These Anzuil Dealer Training Calls have been uploaded to our website, so I hope you can share these with your team. Tonight's call, we will feature one of our direct jobber interviews. Actually, we're going to patch our call into another dealer call that's held at the same time. If you're not currently plugged into our weekly dealer training, be sure to go to www.lube-direct.com and click on the logo for the dealer training site. There are only three choices on that website at our main website. So the dealer training one is the last choice. Again, it's www.lube-direct, that's the dash in the middle, .com. So lubedirect.com with the dash. Also, again, if you enjoy these weekly dealer training calls, be sure to share them with your others in your team. We do this call to help all Anzuil dealers. The more success you have, the more success Anzuil has as a whole. And as they say, a rising tide lifts all boats. We would also love it if you leave a comment on our website or even ask a question, and we promise to reply. So you can go on to the show that this is being held on. If you're listening via Stitcher or iTunes or anything like that, you can go to the website and read the show notes as well as leave a comment. We'd love to have you do that. Over the last 40 years, there have been many successful full-time Anzuil dealers, and tonight we're going to have a chance to listen to two of these top dealers in Anzuil, George Douglas and Dan Watson. George is a 4-star Regency Platinum Direct Jobber, and Dan is a 2-star DJ, Platinum Direct DJ. And higher levels of success in Anzuil take great commitment to personal development, customer service, downline development, and leadership. These two gentlemen have proven over time that you too can become a successful Anzuil dealer. There will surely be some nuggets of information in this call that will help you build a more successful Anzuil dealer business. So without further ado, enjoy the program.
Dan Watson is one of the pretty large dealer with Anzuil. Been well, and some of you may know him. I know a lot of you online here already know him. And just wanted to interview Dan to maybe get some nuggets of information from him that might help some of us in our businesses, and then just get to know Dan and what he's been doing. I wrote a few questions down there to ask, just to get started with these, and like I say, if my phone starts fading, Dan, take over the meeting.
Oh, yeah, right, George, I got it.
Okay, what year did you get started in Anzuil, and why? Why did you... Why go Anzuil?
Well, it was 1991, and I was still in the Navy at my last duty station down here in Orlando. And I started with Anzuil like an awful lot of people. I was interested in the products, and one of the guys in the Navy educated me on it and got me started using Anzuil. And in those days, we... had two choices, either to buy retail or get signed up as a dealer because there was no preferred customer program. So I signed up as a dealer in time and started using Anzuil.
Well, I remember when I first met you because the Navy retiree that I signed up, Steve Kelly, he's the one that signed you up, actually. And when you first came on board, you did a lot of retail. It seems to me that, you know, back then all of us did the warehouse model because there was no Eaches program, which you couldn't order anything but case lots back then.
And, right, so we sold individually. And I remember when it started, George, I was using Anzuil. I was getting it wholesale because, like I said, I had signed up as a dealer, and I would see people and tell them how good the stuff was, and I would send them to Steve Kelly. And Steve Kelly asked me after a while, he said, how did I like selling Anzuil? And I said, I'm not selling Amsoil. I just use it. And he says, oh, no, you're selling a lot of it. You're just not making any money.
Yeah.
And it was it kind of woke me up to realize that I had sent him quite a few people. And so if it was easy enough to send them to him and he made the sale, then why didn't I, you know, try my hand at it a little bit and see how it would go?
Well, you seems to me like you did a lot of retail selling back then, and I think that you, when you built your inventory up back then, because it was kind of important to have an inventory back in those years, you would take your retail profit and turn it right around and buy more inventory. So you were not in debt very much, like a lot of Amsoil dealers do as they start their business. They use other money to get going and keep putting it in. But you seem to have, if I remember right,
I took everything that I made in the business over the first 2 years just went right back into the business, either building up a little bit more of my own stock, because I never felt like you could sell something or provide it if you didn't have it, and so we didn't have a warehouse in town at that time, so I thought you had to have a decent stock. If somebody asks you for something and you tell them I can get that for you next week, that's usually too late. And then when it came to figuring out what I thought I could do to make the business grow, you know, I really thought of it in two ways, George. One was that I could put forth all my personal effort, and the second part is that maybe if I invested back in the business with the money that the business was creating, which I could at the time afford to do rather than, you know, have to use that to live on, then it could grow faster. And so all I did was took money, and as you know, we did, back then you co-opted and we did Yellow Pages, and I participated in that. It was a big deal back then. And then we even got into this unique radio advertising a couple of years after I started in the business, where I'm still doing that with the local radio mechanic. And then we did trade shows, and you know, I paid my portion of those and the expenses of them, and I tried to do that by taking what the business made and wrapping it back into the business, because I figured if I hadn't started into the business, I wouldn't have that money, so I could afford to take it and put it back in. Sometimes you can't do that, but if you can, I think the business grows based on time, effort, and money. If you can invest some money back into the promotional things to get more customers and more business.
Yeah. So back then, what business models, I guess, well, you described a little bit of it, but business models did you really start working at the start there, other than just retail selling? You actually did cover some things. You did the trade shows, and you build up inventory.
Yeah, I think, George, at that time, luckily, you know, like you were there, so you were available to lead us all to the trade shows and to the fairs. You remember, we did county fairs, we did car shows, we did trade shows, and a lot of them. I mean, we must have done almost one a month in the first two or three years I was in this business, and most of the time you were organizing every one of those. So that was what worked for me, was that I had an upline that had something going, and I was able to get involved and tag in, and so that worked well, because I didn't know what to do actually to make the Amsoil business work. So I did what most guys would do. I looked at the guy that was already doing it, and where do we go from here? And in the early days, I think it was the shows and the trade shows that made all the difference. I'm not sure that that's as plentiful today as it was then. I've done shows now, and they don't seem to be quite as effective as they were back in the 90s, mid-90s, late 90s, but boy, it sure was the place to get your feet on the ground back then.
Well, what do you think, because I think I heard that you just worked a show not too long ago with Tony Schultz at the RV trade show in Tampa.
Right, right.
Yeah. Do you... Well, what did you see different than you did, you know, when you first started out as far as...
Well, when we were in a booth in 1995, it was pretty easy to say that people didn't find AMSOIL locally around them in most cases. If they were interested in trying to use AMSOIL, and we talked to them, the difference was is that in many cases they had to come through us in some manner as a... you know, personal use dealer, a customer, or something, because it had not reached like it is now, where there was a lot of retail outlets that had AMSOIL. So, when we're in the RV show this last time, our conversations with a lot of people were that they were asking questions about AMSOIL, but they would tell us that they had a guy in their hometown that had a garage or somebody that, that offered AMSOIL, and they sure enough are going to, you know, get back and get changed over and work with that guy. That was not the case in 1995. It wasn't much that somebody would say, I'm going to go home and work with the mechanic. Their question would be, well, if I order this and it's shipped to my place, then I can get somebody there to do the labor. But we have to admit that AMSOIL has made great strides and becoming more available throughout the country than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, how long did it take you to finally go full-time in AMSOIL?
Well, that's an interesting sort of thing to look at, because I made direct jobber in a little over 2 years, and I was actually full-time for a short period of time, and then, as you know, I went, being retired Navy, I went to teach a new junior ROTC unit for a while, and so the business kept growing while I was doing that, and after a couple of years of doing that, I decided that I couldn't take the teenage world too much more, and then I looked over at my business was really growing, and then from that time on, I was a full-time AMSOIL dealer. So that would have been somewhere around 96 or 97, and I actually only went back to work because of the ROTC thing, because that kind of drew me back to see what that would be like. So I was ready to be full-time after about 4 years, but I did get lured back into doing some work and then dropped that and then got back into AMSOIL, and that would have been about 97, and I've been full-time since then.
Well, you know, you've had a lot of help, too, with your wife, Judy.
Oh,
she's,
goodness.
She's been a tremendous support player for you, just like Shirley has been for me. And
yeah, it's a team effort. My goodness. In particular, in two ways, George, really. I mean, one, there's always the physical part of helping with the business itself, going and doing things, answering the telephone, doing the business. But the bigger part is actually in having a partner that agrees that it's the right thing to do. Let's get this business going. Let's do it right. Make something out of it, rather than you can sometimes have some difficulties if your spouse doesn't believe in what you're trying to do and thinks that it takes you away too much from, you know, the family life. So, yeah, it's very important. Wives do two parts. Some are buried integrally in the business, doing the work. Some are hold other jobs, which help support the family while you build your business and also support the business. So, yeah, it's a team effort.
It sure is. Which, you know, with all these new things AMSOIL's come out with through since you've been involved, all these different all these different business models, especially, you know, since we've, you know, the advent of the Internet and all that kind of stuff, which business models do you see the most profit in that you personally experience, and which ones do you think offer the best long-term security pertaining to the way you work your business?
Well, for me, the long-term security is in the side where you build dealers and direct jobbers. I would prefer to have 20 direct jobbers, and that'd be the whole line of business I had, was just to work that. But I have to admit that there's no way around the low-hanging fruit that exists in the retail on the shelf market. AMSOIL has made that a very streamlined part of the business. With this new offering, this freight option of free shipping at $300 shipping level, that is a absolute gold mine contribution by AMSOIL. I can't believe it. There's people that their businesses in the next 3 or 4 years in that side of the business, the retail on the shelf side of the business, they should see tremendous growth, because the only thing that a lot of those folks always were just whining about, you could say, it didn't amount to anything, but they whined and whined, was about if they ever had to pay freight and all those kind of things. So removing that hurdle at that level really just puts a person right in their lap. Why would you say no? We're gonna set you up with this product. You're gonna sell it. You're gonna make money. You're gonna get it shipped right into you at no cost to you. It's really a great opportunity, and guys ought to be shaking the bushes in that opportunity. Now, that being said, as you know, you've watched my business. I've had more auto parts stores go out of business or stop selling AMSOIL than most people have ever signed up. So that's not security. It's not security when a CarQuest corporate can decide overnight to close down, you know, 8 or 9 of your best producing stores through no fault of the store or yourself. So I love it. I'm going to make all the money I can in retail on the shelf, and I've got 3 guys that are building towards Direct Jobber, and I'm more excited about their progress than any of the retail, things that have worked out. But I could not tell anybody without being deceitful if I tried to tell them that retail on the shelf is not lucrative. It's like low-hanging fruit. Take it while it runs. But if you want to get the most out of your AMSOIL business, you really want to have long-term stability and get the most out of it, you got to build up a nest of direct jobbers under you, people that are being successful and growing and building businesses, and you're helping with them, and then you are benefiting from all of that. And that's long-term security.
Yep, it is.
I know. I got an upline that I help out every month.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate it, too.
Yep. Well, no, but it's the way it works, though, George. I mean, back when you were leading us to all those trade shows and we're going and going, I mean, we weren't filling your pockets too much then.
No, actually, it was an investment, though, see?
Yeah, exactly.
All investment in your downline dealers, you know, and that's why I'm here doing a show right now. I don't need this show, but I'm trying to help some other dealers become large.
Well, and I can there's some guys online maybe listening. I don't know if they're out there, but I have dealers that were in the business for 6 or 8 years and recently came across hooking up a couple of good downline guys, and bingo, right now they've finished the first month towards direct jobber and banked some commission credits, and they're on their way. And what it was what we've talked about over and over is finding a couple of good, you know, guys in your team, guys that want to build businesses that you can help, and they'll raise you right on up into whatever level you're looking for, because that's how the business works. We are just another product in a good retail store. I think in some of the stores I have, they have like 37,000 products, and of that line, we have 10 or 15 products that are in there. So, yep, they're going to like selling our product and making money off of it, but it's not the heart and soul of their business. But if you get a direct jobber who's doing well and gets up to making himself some money, guess what? AMSOIL is the heart and soul of his business, and so his desire to make that business grow and pay attention to it is much higher than the attention you get from the retailer who's just selling your product as one of his products on his shelf. So that's just the nature of business and the nature of people. It's not anything bad. It's just you got to know where your particular stuff's going to get the most attention, and that's in the dealer network, not in the the retail on the shelf. And then we got that other little side of the business, the commercial side, which some people do very well with. And then that, what I tell people, tell my guys, is that, yeah, good. You go get that commercial account. But again, I want you to understand something, George. I had an account, a good little fleet, transportation fleet in a county for 18 years. And everything went perfect for 18 years. Then they got new management and direction, if you know what I mean, in the organization. And somebody's nephew, Bubba, was in the oil distribution business, and they decided they had to use some no-name synthetic that was cheaper and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, well, what did we do wrong? We've had you for 18 years and gave you great service. And the answer sort of is, well, you didn't give them personally that service because those guys are gone. This is new people.
Yeah.
And they got other arrangements and commitments to relatives that need to make money, that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying that to scare anybody away from any commercial account, but what I'm saying is I can almost guarantee you,
Dave Douglas,
if you've got yourself a good long-term direct jobber, maybe a premier direct jobber, executive, something like that, you don't have to worry about him saying, well, I've decided to go with Castrol because my cousin Billy Bob's in the Castrol business. He's going to stick with his AMSOIL business because that's the main purpose of his business is to sell AMSOIL. So still, and I keep harping on this, long-term security, build those downline connections and relationships with your downline dealers, and then you'll have security as you cruise into your old age in AMSOIL.
Yeah. Well, Dan, you do, you know, you're and you're probably worse than I am as far as putting a lot on your plate. And you've done YouTubes, you've done you've produced magazines, diesel magazines, all kinds of advertising type things with your GMC or your General Motors diesel site. How do you find a time for all those kind of things?
Well, I think, George, you make a very good point, and I have wound some of those down because I would caution people that you got to be careful. There's times that you get too many things on your plate, and your ability to focus and concentrate on the things that are actually making you money and going well can get watered down. I mean, it's not worth it to try to get another article out in a magazine, of which the magazine's hanging on by its teeth, you know, and doing the best it can, and you really are proud of what you're doing, but it's not making you much money. I got to show this guy.
Right.
I'm going nowhere with it, you know. And so, no, you need to have good fundamental understanding for one reason. That's so that you show confidence. That's all you need. If you have enough of understanding that you understand and you can convince yourself through your own argument of how good your product is, then you'll be confident in front of people. And that's what you want to be. It's good and confident that you don't want to be one of these guys who go, well, I don't know if it's any good, but, man, I wish you'd buy it. You know?
Yeah.
That ain't going to work.
Well, how many times have you had somebody that you've been selling oil to for years and then they actually be a mechanic or some sort of technical gearhead, and they had an engine problem. And right away, I don't think it's AMSOIL, but, you know, but it's in the back of their mind it is, you know. And
absolutely.
So the dealer has to show that, well, logic, you know, it's not going to be in the oil. You know, you got to watch how you defend yourself, of course, but you got to let them, you know, kind of direct them to logically look at this thing. And like I had one of our top garage accounts the other day that he's got a customer that had cam bearing seized or something. They're going to tear the motor down. And he was saying, well, kind of lead me to believe that, you know, it shouldn't have happened with AMSOIL. And I says, well, Jim, I says, have you ever seen a failure like that before? And he says, yeah. I says, well, why would you even question it being an AMSOIL? You know, he wasn't saying it was AMSOIL's fault, but, you know, they kind of get the thinking that if AMSOIL in there, nothing's going to happen. you know, and that's not what, you know, it just, that's not what it's all about. But you got to be strong and confident that, maybe that product, you know?
Well, you know, a lot of times what I will tell people when they have a failure and they're sort of looking at, well, do you think that AMSOIL had anything to do with this? And a lot of times what I will tell them is, no, I don't think that oil had anything to do with that.
Right.
Anybody's oil, you know?
Right.
I mean, you broke a connector rod bolt, you know? That's
right.
Called metal fatigue. It doesn't have anything to do with the oil. It's got to do with the fact that that bolt was... it was stretched and compressed back and forth 2 million times, and it finally said, ouch, I'm gone, and it broke.
Exactly, or a bearing doesn't get the oil because the bearing ahead of it got blocked because the bearing shifted.
Yeah, and what I would say in a lot of these cases is that if they weren't using AMSOIL, they wouldn't even question whether the oil had anything to do with it. Do you remember years ago you told us a story that one of your meetings that you held a meeting and you sold a guy came and he picked up his case of oil and he threw it in the back of his truck, and he was on his way home from your meeting when he threw a rod in the engine, and then when you got back with him again, I think it was the guy you worked with down here in Orlando, anyway, and you asked him, you said, I forget what the guy's name is, we'll just use Bill, you said, well, Bill, if you had gone home and changed your oil and the day after tomorrow it threw the rod, would you have tried to say that AMSOIL did it? And his response was, yeah, I guess I would. I'd have thought, well, I put that AMSOIL in there and it threw a rod, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the AMSOIL was in the back of the truck, still in the case, didn't have anything to do with throwing the rod. And this is the point, is that timing on this stuff sometimes is what creates your biggest problem with customers. Something happens and they're new with AMSOIL, and they have a problem. But the problem they have is so completely unrelated. And if you take a minute, you usually can, like you just talked about starving a bearing, right? Had guys with a couple of camshafts wiping out, and they wanted to say, well, it must be the oil. And so I said, well, okay, let's think about that. You got a lot of lobes on that camshaft. Are they all worn down? No. Well, doesn't the same oil lubricate all of them? Yeah. Well, then, how would the oil pick out one or two to wear out unless there's something else going on? Because if the oil goes bad, it won't lubricate anywhere. Anything
exactly.
that moves fails to lubricate.
Right.
So everything should wear out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway.
Well, anyway, that's good information on you know, being confident and stuff. And that is really important. And but now... going forward here, what would be your kind of recommendations on, you know, we've always talked about posturing, you know, posture yourself to do business. And you've been better at that than probably most dealers, and it shows with your success level, too. And,
well, I think you call it posturing, and I would say positioning, the same thing. You have to put yourself in enough places that people know you exist. I mean, you can't just put a sign maybe in your front yard if the neighborhood allows it and expect to go very far. You have to say, well, okay, I want people to find me. How do they do that? And years ago, you know, we decided that got to be in the Yellow Pages, got to be online, we've got to... out and about. People have to see you. You have to have your vehicle that it can be identified. My van and my big truck are all decked out in AMSOIL stuff. When appropriately, and that's most of the time, you're wearing some type of AMSOIL clothing or something, because the whole deal is, how do you get yourself recognized or known in the community as an AMSOIL dealer? And there's books called Guerrilla Marketing that talk about different methods to use at low cost to get yourself out there. But you got to have something. You can't just, you know, sit in the house next to the telephone and put on your AMSOIL cap and hope that somebody calls. It doesn't work that way. And you may have to spend, that's where I spent some money. You may have to spend a little money to get listed in those places where people go to look for oil. And today that's a lot in online, some kind of small website, and, you know, there's little local Google searches and all kinds of things, but you have to get somewhere that people can find you. It's awful hard, and you can force it. You go where the people are. That's why you do the trade shows and do those kind of things. But even so, some positioning, it's imperative if you're going to really grow the business. You got to spend some money on advertising and exposure so that people know who you are. And I don't know if the Yellow Pages are, they're not nearly as important as they used to be, but that's just an example of what we started out with when that was the primary medium to find stuff, because there was no internet search to find you.
Well, we did, you know, we did everything like a regular businessman would do. We didn't do anything. I mean, we did trade shows like you said, and then we got our business cards out there. We did, you know, and now you get catalogs, you get them out in people's hands. You join organizations, meet new people, all kinds of stuff. I mean, I've just joined new organizations from, you know, aviation related. It's because I want to meet some of these folks too, but I'm already selling oil to those people.
Sure.
And I'm trying, you know. I'm not talking about selling aircraft oil. I'm talking about their cars and trucks and RVs and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a natural progression. I mean, I did a tractor show a couple weeks ago, not a show, but a tractor, antique tractor club meeting, you know, and it's just things that, you know, you network through all this kind of stuff, and dealers need to learn how to do those things, you know.
Yeah, and it is a lot of times just asking your upline direct jobber and the guys that are available to ask them for what they would do or what their advice is, because most of the time you go to the people that succeed at what they're doing and ask them what they did, and there's nothing wrong with emulating it, you know. And then, as we always say at AMSOIL, your business will end up being tailored to you and your personality. But find somebody to see how they're doing and how they're succeeding, and see how much of that you can implement in your own business. Because, hey, I don't know about anybody else, but reinventing that round wheel gets to be a heavy load after a while. You need to just find somebody's wheel that works and ride it, you know?
Exactly. Okay, you never did answer what you're going to do to your, how you're going to, what your exit plan is, what the,
I think, George,
so many different ways, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, it's the exit is to reduce, as I said, personal labor.
Oh, hands-on.
What that means is, in some cases, depending on how things work, I would have said I might even commission share and move some business to some other dealers, but in all this retail business, since AMSOIL is willing to ship it, you know, for no cost, there's not much to do now. I mean, it's the hands-on part is really dropping down quickly, so I like that. That's AMSOIL's participating in my retirement plan by reducing the hands-on, because, you know, we really in Central Florida here, in my business, we really took on a lot of accounts and businesses where my daughter works for me and is almost like a full-time freight company delivering all over the place. So that's going to start to wind down as we determine which places we want to ship to and which ones we want to keep delivering. Because one of the things in that folks need to understand is that sometimes in your actual when you have contact and deliver to accounts, you create business. And you have to be careful about how you transition to where you don't have that much face contact, because they're getting their order shipped to them, and you have to think about ways to communicate with them and interact with them, because before it was being done just by sheer necessity of delivering the product and talking for a few minutes. But then now when you're not going to deliver the product, how do you force communication? How do you continue to interact with that account? And you have to spend more time on the telephone, more time with emails, communicating, all this kind of stuff, just so that you keep that a personal relationship up with that account that you don't lose it because you no longer see them. And it is important only in this means. As long as they're selling oil, they're just going to keep selling oil. They make money. That's why they're doing it. But they can sell more oil when you have the time to make recommendations and coach a little bit on the kind of things that work and don't work and help that account grow, because it's a partnership. And so if you were delivering oil and making those contacts and talking to them, now if you're not delivering and talking to them, you have to come up with another way to make sure you stay in contact and you make that communication so you can keep the business going.
Well, you can still drive around and do FaceTime with these people, and you're just not using your back. And then
you're
talking to them about different products, like you said, and training and whatever else, and then taking it.
And in fact, you'll do more of it that way, because before you'd be in a hurry, not pressed so bad, but somewhat in a hurry to get the product delivered and get on to the next account you had to deliver.
Oh, yeah, and you're sweating. You're working.
Yeah.
Oil ain't light. It's getting heavier as we get older.
So, yeah, I would say, but you have to keep in the back of your mind that a lot of times it's that part of the business that is hardest, I think, sometimes to realize that we have to work the business we have as well as go after new business, because you can't just sign them up, put them in the corral, and go on to the next one. There's continuing work with the ones you got, which I'm trying to get better at, because that is a tremendous opportunity for increased sales if you can work it in. You know, it's like if you have 50 good, solid retail-on-the-shelf accounts and you had a way that you could get them to sell 2 cases more per month between each account, that'd be 100 cases a month in that existing business. If you could get in there and introduce them to something new and they get it on the shelf and sure enough it works and they're selling it, now that's a pretty good bump in your business compared to bringing on the next brand new account that you've got to start working with. So we've got a lot of stuff built up in business that we need to take care of. It's that old idea of don't forget to, you know, water the horses in the corral when you're going out looking for more wild horses.
Yeah, exactly. Dan, you've done a lot of training YouTubes in the last several years, actually probably more than any other dealer out there. How do people get to look at some of your YouTubes?
Well, if they go to YouTube and type in Dan Watson, they'll end up with my channel. Now, they're more than welcome to go to the lubepage.com website, and there's a ton of videos there. So the YouTube channel is simple. It's just Dan Watson. You go to YouTube and type in Dan Watson, and it'll bring up some other stuff other than just me. There's a few other people out there named Dan Watson, but primarily you'll get into my group, and there's about, I don't know, 72 or 75 of those YouTube videos that we did. Those are from my regular training meetings, which in fact I got to get back on. But you know how hard that is, George, to get back into trying to do a regular monthly meeting.
Yeah. So if you type in your name, just Dan Watson Amsel, I bet your name would come up quite a bit.
Yeah, it should. And those go back quite a ways. There's there may be some slight changes and some things, so when you watch them, there may be a few things that might be out of date. So if there is, send me an email and let me know, and I'll try to get around to revise them at some time.
Okay. As they fill out their credit card information for the fees for this, they can critique it also with that credit card fee?
Yeah, I'm making a ton of money off these YouTubes, you know.
Yeah, you wish you were.
Yeah, I tell you, the only thing I've gotten out of the YouTubes is a lot of attaboys from a lot of AMSO dealers across the country who use them for training. So.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's good that you're sharing that stuff. You certainly don't have to. And like we did early in the years there, we trained a lot of dealers that weren't in our line back in the Orlando area. And, you know, our thoughts, we both thought this, was that we better, you know, it's better to go ahead and train them so they don't step on everybody, you know, and, you know.
Well, it's also
so
good to, you know, you don't want to just wrong stuff be put out by AMSOIL dealers, technical stuff or even product stuff. So it's best that the dealers can go and find information anywhere and everywhere they can, because I know all the dealers that are listening have run into somebody somewhere that tells them some ridiculous something that they claim that some other AMSOIL dealer told them. Well, I don't know if any of what they say is true. These people come up with this stuff. Sometimes they get it wrong. But it is in all of our interest to try to make sure that any of the AMSOIL dealers can get the knowledge they need to give the best answer possible, and it keeps the whole dealer network that much more healthy, that we're all trying to get out correct, good information, and that we want to put out the right information as we understand it. Nobody wants to put out anything that's bum dope, so it's good to be able to try to help new dealers find legitimate information so that they're able to tell people that ask them these questions the right stuff.
Right, right. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wind it down here. I know we could talk all night, and we have before. And but anyway, Dan, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, George, I just leave with one last thing, and that is that, you know, every year maybe we think that for some reason maybe the best opportunities have gone past, right? But it just, as they say, it just ain't so. It seems like that however it works out, that the opportunity just keeps on going. It's boldly going. I mean, I've got some new dealers, like I said, that should be making direct jobber this year, and they're doing it just as well and just as much of a time frame as the guys did it in the past. So, I mean, the opportunity's there. It just keeps going.
Well, you know, I came, you know, every time we go up to AMSOIL, they introduce something. You know, every year we're usually up there, just, you know, like you and Judy are also. And they just keep coming out with stuff that makes our job easier, I think, and just, you know, it's not a bunch of excitement, but it just seems like it. I get excited about it, some of it, and now they've come out with this free shipping, they've all these new products, and they've got some more things in the bag to give us up at the convention next month.
Absolutely flabbergasted with in the past 6 months or so. I mean, we got all these new motorcycle lube. Now we've got this whole UTV, ATV lineup. It is, you remember, I know you do, before me. I mean, you were way back there, and we only had about a 5-page price list whenever I came into the business.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
You could remember almost everything. I mean, it was
yeah.
that small.
Well,
now
we had
I have
four
to
five.
Look at the index in the front of the price list to make sure I can find the product I'm looking for.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to find it, you know. And, my gosh, the days of trying to stock all these products now—that's
no.
No way.
You have to figure there's some areas you're just not going to be have that immediate response. It's like I don't have a lot of demand for me personally for the ATV, UTV stuff. So I will, if I get a call for that, I'll tell the guys you have to wait a day or two, and I'll get it from the warehouse. But no,
well,
many products.
Well, I'm glad, you know, you just said something that made me think of something. A lot of times dealers that don't live close to a warehouse, they and don't stock a lot of products, they think that their business is really going to be hurt and by not having product, you know. And even when I don't have product and I have a warehouse in town, I will try to find out I'll ask that person if they can, if you can wait till tomorrow or the next day, I can have it shipped right to your doorstep, you know, and for that inconvenience, not actually inconvenience, but whatever, you know, You could get it, you know, it actually allows me to bring in the preferred customer wholesale idea.
Yeah, sure does.
And I have converted an awful lot of people over the years that were just looking for the oil, and they wanted it today, but they found they could wait, you know, for a day or two, and we'd set them up on a preferred customer membership, sell them the oil, and they were happy, and they kept buying for the next several months, you know. So sometimes you can use that to your advantage, especially now with the free shipping, too, you know.
Okay.
Or, you know, even with the jacked up prices they did on the online and on the catalogs, we have a 30 to 35% profit margin now that to use as leverage for wholesale buyers, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right,
I mean,
now, if you can just get in front of people, the preferred customer opportunity is almost absolutely no-brainer. I mean, it's just... And people say, yeah, but I'll have to pay freight on that. You think you can afford that out of the 35% off of the internet price? I think you maybe can afford that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just a no-brainer. But, again, you have to get in front of people or have a way that you can get that message to people. It's either by your them calling you on the phone because you're advertising, or else you're on the internet. You're talking on some site where people talk and you know, about specialty cars or whatever you're doing, but you got to find someplace that you can get people to know who you are, because otherwise you're what we used to laugh and call a stealth dealer, man. You're incognito. Nobody knows who you are, you know.
Secret agent.
Secret agent, yeah.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for taking the time to share some of your thoughts with us, Dan.